Hello, angels. It is me, Willow, and I am back with what I believe is the fifth. Yes, fifth makes sense. Fifth part of my reading of Lois Lowry's The Giver. I have hair in my mouth. Cool. We are starting on chapter 9, so we'll probably do 9 and 10. Is it the fifth? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, it's the fifth. Jesus Christ. You ever just, like, struggle? If you haven't heard the original parts of this, I strongly suggest you do that. The Safer Work audio index that is pinned to my Reddit profile is completely updated, and I will be putting this one in it probably after I record the next one, because I'm a lazy piece of shit. You can also find them pinned in the media channel of my Discord server and on my Twitter if you can scroll through all my nonsense, which recently has just been my mouth. So, there's that. I'm probably going to read two chapters because that seems to be par for the course anymore. We're about halfway through the book. I did promise someone I would try and do a Jeff Bridges impersonation, and honestly, as I'm sitting here, I don't know what Jeff Bridges sounds like. So, sorry. In advance. Anyway, I am in bed. I'm comfy. I don't have a candle lit because my room smells like flowers, and I want to smell them. I have my glasses on. I am comfortable. The fan is on, the window's open, have something to drink between chapters, and I'm ready to go. I'm actually super fucking excited. I'm super fucking excited because we left off in a really good part. So, without further ado, chapter 9 of Lois Lowry's The Giver. Now, for the first time in his 12 years of life, Jonas felt separate. Different. He remembered what the chief elder had said, that his training would be alone and apart. But his training had not yet begun, and already, upon leaving the auditorium, he felt the apartness. Holding the folder that she had given him, he made his way through the door and the throng, looking for his family unit and for Asher. People moved aside for him. They watched him. He thought he could hear whispers. "Ash!" he called, spotting his friend near the rows of bicycles. "Ride back with me?" "Sure," Asher smiled, his usual smile. Friendly and familiar, but Jonas felt a moment of hesitation from his friend, an uncertainty. "Congratulations," Asher said. "You too," Jonas replied. "It was really funny when she told me about the smacks. You got more applause than almost anybody else." The other new 12s clustered nearby, placing their folders carefully into the carrying containers on the backs of their bikes. In each dwelling tonight, they would be studying the instructions for the beginning of their training. Each night, for years, the children had memorized the required lessons for school, often yawning with boredom. Tonight, they would all begin to eagerly memorize the rules for their adult assignments. "Congratulations, Asher," someone called. Then the hesitation again. "You too, Jonas." Asher and Jonas responded with congratulations to their groupmates. Jonas saw his parents watching him from the place where their own bicycles were waiting. Lily had already been strapped to her seat. He waved. They waved back, smiling, but he noticed that Lily was watching him solemnly, her thumb in her mouth. He rode directly to his dwelling, exchanging only small jokes and unimportant remarks with Asher. "See you in the morning, recreation director," he called, dismounting by his door as Asher continued on. "Right, see you," Asher called back. Once again, there was just a moment when things weren't quite the same, weren't quite as they had always been through the long friendship. Perhaps he had imagined it. Things couldn't change with Asher. The evening meal was quieter than usual. Lily chattered about her plans for volunteer work. She would begin, she said, at the nurturing center, since she was already an expert at feeding Gabriel. "I know," she added quickly when her father gave her a warning glance. "I won't mention his name. I know I'm not supposed to know his name." "Can't wait for tomorrow to come," she said happily. Jonas sighed uneasily. "I can," he muttered. "You've been greatly honored," his mother said. "Your father and I are very proud." "It's the most important job in the community," father said. "But just the other night, you said the job of making assignments was the most important," mother nodded. "This is different. It's not a job, really. I never thought, never expected." She paused. "There's only one receiver." "But the chief elder said that they had made a selection before and it failed." What was she talking about? Both of his parents hesitated. Finally, his father described the previous selection. "It was very much as it was today, Jonas. The same suspense, as 111 had been passed over when the assignments were given. Then the announcement when they singled out the one. Jonas interrupted. What was his name? His mother replied. Her, not his. It was a female, but we are to never speak the name, or use it again for the new child. Jonas was shocked. A name designated not to be spoken indicated the highest degree of disgrace. What happened to her? He asked nervously. Both of his parents looked blank. We don't know, his father said uncomfortably. We never saw her again. A silence fell over the room. They looked at each other. Finally, his mother, rising from the table, said, You've been greatly honored, Jonas. Greatly honored. Alone in his sleeping room, prepared for bed, Jonas opened his folder at last. Some of the other 12s, he had noticed, had been given their folders thick with printed pages. He imagined Benjamin, the scientific male in his group, beginning to read the pages of rules and instruction with relish. He pictured Fiona smiling her gentle smile as she bent over the list of duties and methods that she would be required to learn in the days to come. But his own folder was startlingly close to empty. Inside of it, there was only a single printed sheet. He read it twice. Jonas, receiver of memory. 1. Go immediately at the end of school hours each day to the annex entrance behind the House of Old and present yourself to the attendant. 2. Go immediately to your dwelling at the conclusion of training hours each day. 3. From this moment, you are exempt from rules governing rudeness. You may ask any questions of any citizen, and you will receive answers. 4. Do not discuss your training with any other members of the community, including parents and elders. 5. From this moment, you are prohibited from dream-telling. 6. Except for illness or injury unrelated to your training, do not apply for any medication. 7. You are not permitted to apply for release. 8. You may lie. Jonas was stunned. What would happen to his friendships? His mindless hours playing ball or riding his bike along the river. Those had been happy and vital times for him. Were they to be completely taken from him now? The simple logistic instructions, where to go and when, were expected. Every 12 had to be told, of course, where and how he was to report for training. But he was a little dismayed with that left his schedule with no time, apparently, for recreation. The exemption from rudeness startled him. Reading it again, however, he realized that it didn't compel him to be rude. It simply allowed him the option. He was quite certain he would never take advantage of it. He was so completely and thoroughly accustomed to the courtesy within the community that the thought of asking another citizen an intimate question, of calling someone's attention to an area of awkwardness, was unnerving. The prohibition of dream-telling, he thought, would not be a real problem. He dreamed so rarely that the dream-telling did not come easily to him anyway. And he was glad to be excused from it. He wondered briefly, though, how to deal with the morning meal. What if he did have a dream? Should he simply tell his family unit, as he so often did anyway, that he hadn't? That would be a lie. Still, the final rule said, well, he wasn't quite ready to think about the final rule on the page. The restriction of medication unnerved him. Medication was always available to citizens, even to children, through their parents. When he had crushed his finger in the door, he had quickly, gasping into the speaker, notified his mother. She had hastily requisitioned relief of pain medication, which had promptly been delivered to his dwelling. Almost instantly, the excruciating pain in his hand had diminished to a throb, which was, now, all he could recall of the experience. Rereading rule number 6, he realized that a crushed finger fell into the category of unrelated to training. So if it ever happened again, and he was quite certain it wouldn't, he had been very careful near heavy doors since that accident, he could still receive medication. The pill he took now, each morning, was also unrelated to training, so he would continue to receive the pill. And he remembered uneasily what the chief elder had said about the pain that would come with his training. She had called it indescribable. Jonas swallowed hard, trying without success to imagine what such a pain might be like with no medication at all, but it was beyond his comprehension. He felt no reaction to rule number 7 at all. It had never occurred to him that under any circumstances, ever, he might apply for release. Finally, he steeled himself to read the final rule again. He had been trained since earliest childhood, since his earliest learning of language, never to lie. Excuse me. It was an integral part of the learning in precise speech. Once, when he had been a 4, he had said, just prior to the midday meal at school, "I'm starving." Immediately, he had been taken aside for a brief private lesson in language precision. He was not starving, it was pointed out. He was hungry. No one in the community was starving, had ever been starving, would ever be starving. To say starving was to speak a lie. An unintentional lie, of course. But for the reason of precision of language was to ensure that unintentional lies were never uttered. Did he understand that? They asked him. And he had. He had never, within his memory, been tempted to lie. Asher did not lie. Lily did not lie. His parents did not lie. No one did. Unless... No. Now Jonas had a thought that he had never had before. This new thought was frightening. What if others, adults, had, upon becoming 12s, received their instructions with the same terrifying sentence? What if they had all been instructed, "You may lie"? His mind reeled, now empowered to ask questions of utmost rudeness and promised answers. He could conceivably, though it was almost unimaginable, ask someone, some adult, his father perhaps, "Do you lie?" But he would have no way of knowing if the answer he received was true. I need a drink because I am, unfortunately, struggling to swallow something in my throat. Haha, giggle. I know you're all laughing. Okay. That's my other hip. Pull this hoodie down because it's fucking riding up. Okay. Comfy. Alright. Chapter 10. "I go in here, Jonas," Vienna told him when they reached the door, the front door to the House of Old, after parking their bicycles in the designated area. "I don't know why I'm so nervous," she confessed. "I've been here so often before." She turned her folder over in her hands. "Well, everything's different now," Jonas reminded her. "Even the nameplates on our bikes," Fiona laughed. During the night, the nameplates of each new 12 had been removed by the maintenance crew and replaced with a style that indicated citizen in training. "I don't want to be late," she said hastily, and started up the steps. "If we finish at the same time, I'll ride home with you." Jonas nodded, waved to her, and headed around the building, towards the annex, a small wing attached to the back. He certainly didn't want to be late for his first day of training, either. The annex was very ordinary, its door unremarkable. He reached for the heavy handle and then noticed a buzzer on the wall, so he buzzed and said, "Yes?" The voice came through a small speaker above the buzzer. "It's Jonas? I'm new. Come in." A click indicated that the door had been unlatched. The lobby was very small and contained only a desk at which a female attendant sat working on some papers. She looked up when he entered. Then, to his surprise, she stood. It was a small thing, the standing, but no one had ever stood automatically to acknowledge Jonas's presence before. "Welcome, receiver of memory," she said respectfully. "Oh, please," he replied uncomfortably. "Call me Jonas." She smiled, pushed a button, and he heard a click that unlocked a door to her left. "You may go right in," she told him. Then she seemed to notice his discomfort and to realize its origin. No doors in the community were locked. Ever. None that Jonas knew of, anyway. "The locks are simply to ensure the receiver's privacy because he needs concentration," she explained. "It would be difficult if citizens wandered in, looking for the Department of Bicycle Repair or something." Jonas laughed, relaxing a little. The woman seemed very friendly, and it was true. In fact, it was a joke throughout the community that the Department of Bicycle Repair, an unimportant little office, was relocated so often that no one ever really knew where it was. "There's nothing dangerous here," she told him. "But," she added, glancing to the wall clock, "he doesn't like to be kept waiting." Jonas hurried through the door and found himself in a comfortably furnished living area. It was not unlike his own family's unit's dwelling. Furniture was standard throughout the community, practical, sturdy, and the function of each piece clearly defined. A bed for sleeping, a table for eating, a desk for studying. All of these things were in the spacious room, though each was slightly different from those in his own dwelling. The fabrics on the upholstered chairs and sofa were slightly thicker and more luxurious. The table legs were not straight, like those at home, but slender and curved, with a small carved decoration at the foot. The bed, in an alcove at the far end of the room, was draped with a splendid cloth embroidered over its entire surface with intricate designs. But the most conspicuous difference was the books. In his own dwelling, they were there. There were the necessary reference volumes that each household contained, a dictionary, and a thick community volume which contained descriptions of every office, factory, building, and committee, and the Book of Rules, of course. The books in his own dwelling were the only books that Jonas had ever seen. He had never known that other books existed. But this room's walls were completely covered by bookcases, filled with which reached to the ceiling. There must have been hundreds, perhaps thousands of books, their titles embossed in shiny letters. Jonas stared at them. He couldn't imagine what the thousands of pages contained. Could there be rules beyond the rules that governed the community? Could there be more descriptions of offices and factories and committees? He had only a second to look around because he was aware that a man was sitting in a chair beside the table and was watching him. Hastily, he moved forward and stood before the man, bowed slightly, and said, "I'm Jonas." "I know. Welcome, Receiver of Memory." Jonas recognized the man. He was the elder who had seemed separate from the others at the ceremony, though he was dressed in the same special clothing that only the elders wore. Jonas looked self-consciously into the pale eyes that mirrored his own. "Sir, I apologize for my lack of understanding." He waited, but the man did not give the standard accepting of apology response. After a moment, Jonas went on. "I think, he corrected, reminding himself that if precision of language were to ever be important, it was certainly important now, in the presence of this man, that you are the receiver of memory. I was only selected yesterday. I'm not anything at all, not yet." The man looked at him thoughtfully, silently. It was a look that combined interest, curiosity, concern, and perhaps a little sympathy as well. Finally, he spoke. "Beginning today, this moment, at least to me, you are the receiver. I have been the receiver for a long time. A very, very long time. You can see that, can't you?" The man nodded. Or Jonas nodded. The man was wrinkled, and his eyes, though piercing in their unusual lightness, seemed tired. The flesh around them was darkened into shadowed circles. "I can see that you are very old," Jonas responded with respect. The old were always given the highest respect. The man smiled. He touched the sagging flesh on his own face with amusement. "I'm not actually as old as I look," he told Jonas. "This job has aged me. I know I look as if I should be scheduled for release very soon, but I actually have a good deal of time left. I was pleased, though, when you were selected. It took them a long time. The failure of the previous selection was 10 years ago, and my energy was starting to diminish. I need what strength I have remaining for your training. We have a hard and painful work to do, you and I." "Please sit down," he said, and gestured towards the nearby chair. Jonas lowered himself onto the soft cushioned seat. The man closed his eyes and continued speaking. "When I became a 12, I was selected as you were. I was frightened, and I'm sure you are." He opened his eyes for a moment and peered at Jonas, who nodded. The eyes closed again. "I came to this very room to begin my training. It was such a long time ago. The previous receiver seemed just as old to me as I do to you. He was just as tired as I am today." He sat forward suddenly, opened his eyes, and said, "You may ask questions. I have so little experience in describing this process, it's forbidden to talk of it." "I know, sir. I've read the instructions," Jonas said. "So I may neglect to make things clear as I should." The man chuckled. "My job is important and has enormous honor. That does not mean I am perfect. and when I tried to before to train a successor, I failed. Please ask any questions that will help you. In his mind, Jonas had questions. 1,000. 1,000,000 questions. As many questions as there were books lining the walls. But he did not ask one. Not yet. The man sighed, seeming to pull his thoughts in order, and then he spoke again. Simply stated, he said, although it's not really simple at all, my job is to transmit you all the memories I have within me. Memories of the past. Sir, Jonas said tentatively, I would be very interested to hear the story of your life and to listen to your memories. I apologize for interrupting, he added quickly. The man waved his hand impatiently. No apologies in this room. We haven't time. Well, Jonas went on, uncomfortably aware that he might be interrupting again. I am really interested. I don't mean that I'm not, but I don't exactly understand why it's so important. I could do some adult job in the community, and in my recreation time, I could listen to your stories from your childhood. I'd like that, actually, he added. I've done that already in the House of Old. The old like to tell you about their childhood, and it's always fun to listen. The man shook his head. No, no, he said. I'm not being clear. It's not my past, not my childhood that I must transmit to you. He leaned back, resting his head against the back of the upholstered chair. It's the memories of the whole world, he said with a sigh. Before you, before me, before the previous receiver and generations before him. Jonas frowned. The whole world? He asked. I don't understand. Do you mean not just us? Not just the community? Does that mean elsewhere, too? He tried in his mind to grasp the concept. I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand exactly. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I don't know what you mean when you say the whole world or generations before him. I thought there was only us. I thought there was only now. There's much more. There's all that goes beyond, all that is elsewhere, and all that goes back and back and back. I received all of those when I was selected. And here in this room, all alone, I re-experience them again and again. It's how wisdom comes and how we shape our future. He rested for a moment, breathing deeply. I am so weighted with them, he said. Jonas felt a terrible concern for the man suddenly. It's as if... The man paused, seeming to search his mind for the right words of description. It's like going downhill through deep snow on a sled, he said finally. At first, it's exhilarating. The speed, the sharp, clear air. But then the snow accumulates, builds up on the runners, and you slow. You have to push hard to keep going. He shook his head suddenly and then peered at Jonas. That meant nothing to you, did it? Jonas was confused. I didn't understand it, sir. Of course you didn't. You don't know what snow is, do you? Jonas shook his head. Or a sled? Runners? No, sir. Downhill? The term means nothing to you. Nothing, sir. Well, it's a place to start. I've been wondering how to begin. Move to the bed. Lie face down. Remove your tunic first. Jonas did so, a little apprehensively. Beneath his bare chest, he felt the soft folds of their magnificent cloth that covered the bed. He watched as the man rose and moved first to the wall where the speaker was. It was the same sort of speaker that occupied a place in every dwelling. But one thing about it was different. This one had a switch, which the man deftly snapped to the end that said off. Jonas almost gasped out loud. To have the power to turn the speaker off, it was an astonishing thing. Then the man moved with surprising quickness to the corner where the bed was. He sat on the chair beside Jonas, who was motionless, waiting for what would happen next. Close your eyes. Relax. This will not be painful. Jonas remembered that he was allowed, that he had even been encouraged to ask questions. What are you going to do, sir? He asked, hoping that his voice didn't betray his nervousness. I'm going to transmit the memory of snow, the old man said, and placed his hands on Jonas's bare back. That's it. That's it. All right, guys. God, this is a good book. Fuck, I'm going to have to buy the other ones. Shit. No. Okay. That's it. Two chapters. I will talk to you guys soon. Probably record more tomorrow. Love you all. Take care of yourselves and be the best yous that you can be. See ya.